Morning, guys. So this reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, and can be found on page 1061 of the Church Bibles. That's 1061. On the road to Emmaus. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jacob. So we're going to continue to look at the encounter of Jesus with two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. Now this story to me is like a bit of a gold mine. There are loads and loads and loads of things you can get out of it. And I will be taking us along one theme, which I think is a good one to explore. But there will be many things I will not be exploring. So if I leave out some of your favourite bits or don't emphasise some of the things that you really think are important about this, I apologise for that. So I thought we would do this a bit as a quiz, but this is going to be just an internal quiz for you to think to yourselves. But it just helps to structure. So if we go on to the next slide and the one after that, please. So, and what I've also done, to complement what the story, is to include some paintings. Now, paintings can be helpful or they cannot. So if they are helpful to you, that's fine. If they're not, forget them. Paintings can often tell you more about the painter and their own time than they tell you about the story. So, who were the travellers? It's sort of straightforward because we're told there are two of them, and we know one of them is Cleopas. And this is in the style of an Eastern Orthodox icon, and it very helpfully gives them everybody a halo, and they've got their name in their halo. So one of them says the Apostle Cleopas, and the other says the Apostle Luke. And some people have thought this could be Luke because it sounds so much like an eyewitness report that maybe it was Luke. But there are other suggestions. If you look at John's Gospel, the ladies at the cross, one of them is called Mary, the wife of Clopas. And people have said maybe this is a couple, a husband and wife traveling. So in a sense, that's not critical. There are two travelers. One of them is Cleopas. They are clearly very close followers. They're not in the immediate, originally 12, now 11 disciples. So let's keep going on to the next one. So pretty obvious one, this, I think. Did they recognize Jesus as they traveled? No. We're told they did not recognize Jesus. But if you look across the translations, you find all sorts of different things. I think that's because the original is actually quite complicated. I think the King James Version talks about their eyes were holden and they did not know him. Some translations just go straight for God kept them from recognizing him. But that's not, that could be inferred, but that's not quite what it says. It just says they did not recognize him, and that's what we have in the New International Version. So let's go on to the next one. Why not? That's a good question. And it sort of follows on from what we were talking about earlier. And there could be all sorts of things contributing to this. These people were distressed. They were downcast, it says that. So maybe they were so busy thinking about their own woes that they didn't immediately recognize the person who came alongside them. There may be other things. As far as they were aware, and we'll come back to exactly what they knew about the resurrection in a minute, as far as they were aware, Jesus was dead. And dead people don't come and join you on a journey. They don't come and walk with you. So there's possibly a context thing. There may be an appearance thing. I know I sometimes struggle when watching the television. I see an actor or an actress, and I think I've seen them before, but they had blonde hair last time and they're black this time, or the makeup has changed. And somebody who's been in a grave for a period of time, they may look different. There are all sorts of things about whether Jesus' body was different or not. And there may be an element of that. So they did not recognize Jesus, and there may be all sorts of reasons for that. So let's go on to the next one. What did they know about Jesus' resurrection? Now, they knew some reports. There is the report of the ladies going to the tomb, seeing angels, and angels saying Jesus is alive, he is risen. There's a report of Peter going to the tomb, but he did not see Jesus. So, at the point that they are, nobody had seen Jesus alive. There are reports. The tomb is empty, as in the painting. The grave clothes are on one side. But none of the disciples or the immediate followers at that time, as reported by them to the person who was traveling with them, had seen Jesus. So, again, they didn't actually know the resurrection had happened. They'd heard reports. They had heard Jesus talking on his travels that he must suffer many things and rise again. Whether they had internalized that, whether they'd actually understood that, I don't know. It doesn't sound like it. And for to me, it sounds as though they'd heard the reports, there are puzzlements going around in their mind, but they did not know. They had not met anybody who had said, I have seen the risen Lord. That was later. So let's keep going. I'm just going to get myself a drink. So what did Jesus tell them? If we knew exactly what Jesus had told them, it might solve all our problems for sermon series and Bible studies for the next 10 years. I think it's been described as the greatest Bible study of all time. Well, first of all, he said, how foolish you are and slow to understand, that they had missed something. They'd heard lots of things. They'd heard what Jesus had been saying, but the penny hadn't dropped. It hadn't sunk in. And so Jesus then went back to the scriptures. They talk about there's a lot of the Old Testament that he went through and went through how he must suffer to, or how the Messiah must suffer to redeem Israel. And still at that stage, they did not recognize him. So let's have a look at the next slide. Oh, how did they feel? They don't tell us at the time. They tell us later. They say their hearts burnt within them. And there's obviously something. The penny is starting to drop. It's sort of in midair a bit. And I wonder, in this recognizing thing, that they didn't recognize him, that they were beginning to get this sense, this is, there's something going on here. Haven't quite worked it out, but there's something going on. So if we go on to the next slide. Why did Jesus not continue past Emmaus? Because he was travelling on, he was on the road to Emmaus, and it says he made as though he was going to travel further. So it looks as though he was going to travel further, and if nothing else had happened, presumably he would have travelled further. So the reason he didn't travel further was because they did something. And it's pretty much the only thing they did. Well, they walked and they talked. But they said to him, abide with us. I think that's the King James Version. It's almost abide with us, fast falls the eventide. And I think that particular hymn comes from this episode, or that first line does. They didn't just say, oh, why don't you come and stay with us? It was more than that. They urged him strongly. So we've got to the stage that he's walking along with them. Something's going on in their minds. Their hearts are burning within them. And the stranger makes as though he's going to keep on his travels and sort of leave them behind. And they say, no, stay with us. Stay with us. It's the urging strongly. Then if we go on, and what led to them recognizing Jesus? I've got a couple of paintings here. That this one's a Rembrandt. You can always tell Rembrandt because you can only see half the picture. because of his wonderful use of light and shade. And they recognized him, not because of the scriptures, But that was a critical part of the journey. But in the breaking of the bread. And it says, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. If you read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, you have, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he distributed it to the disciples to give to everybody. If you read the story of the Last Supper, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Now, we don't know whether these particular followers were at those events. They were almost certainly not at the Last Supper, but they could well have heard about that. They may well have been at the feeding of the 5,000. We don't know. But it sounds as though this is something. There was a particular way that Jesus did this, and that was recognizable. So he was recognized not by what he looked like, because they'd been walking alongside him for whatever it was, something a bit less than 7 miles. Not in how he sounded, not in his voice, because again, they'd been listening to him talking. They were beginning to recognize through what was written about him in a book when he expounded the scriptures and laid open the word of God to them and what was written. So that was they were beginning to get that burning in the hearts feeling. But the thing where the penny dropped was something that he did, because he did it in a particular way, in the breaking of the bread. So if we go on to the next slide, this is one. If you ever go to the National Gallery, this is one of my favourite paintings there. It's the Caravaggio of the Supper at Emmaus. Although I think you have to be quick, because it's going to the Ulster Museum in Belfast for middle of May for a while. But if you go to the National Gallery, have a look at that. It's so 3D. And what they then remembered, when the penny dropped, they then went back to, on the road, that something was bubbling up inside, that their hearts were burning within them. So it then started to come together. And then what did they do? This isn't a painting. But it's to illustrate travelling at night. It's not quite night, but it was night time. Actually, travelling at night is a pretty dangerous thing to do in that part of the world. The story of the Good Samaritan, even travelling in daytime is a pretty dangerous thing to do. So travelling at night was a dangerous thing to do. They may have been helped in that, because it was close to Passover, it would be close to full moon, which is what you got there. So if it was a cloudless sky, then at least they could see a bit for their journey back. And they went back, taking a risk. They changed their plans, they took a risk, they went back, and they shared what they had found with everybody else. So let's have a think about this just in terms of recognizing. And as I've said, I'm following one seam in this gold mine. There are lots of other ways of thinking about this. We go on to the next slide. This is the picture that we had earlier of the sort of sense of familiarity and then the penny dropping because of something you see or hear or something that they do or something is written about them, and you get the recognition. So there are two stages here. There's on the road to Emmaus. Now if we just keep going, on the road to Emmaus, there was a growing sense of, there's something here. And it was because of what was written about Jesus in a book. It's because he expounded the scriptures, he opened the scriptures to them, and there was this sense that this all seems to make sense, and that this character, that there's something about this character. Now, if we go on to the next slide, we have what happened at the meal. And again, if you keep going, we've already had the burning within them. But what clinched it was something that Jesus did. Not what he looked like, not what he sounded like, but something that he did, that he did it in a particular way. And that led to the recognition. And if we keep going on, so this is just a couple of slides of summary. So, thinking of recognizing Jesus, one thing about the road to Emmaus was that I've heard it suggested that those followers were actually going in the wrong direction. That Jerusalem was actually the place to be, and they were going away from Jerusalem for whatever reason. And going in the wrong direction, Jesus was travelling with them. And I think Jesus travels with us, whether we're going in the right direction or whether we're going. It's sometimes said, I've sometimes heard it said, if you don't feel close to Jesus, who has moved? I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Jesus is travelling with us, but there are times when we don't recognise him. So, just following down, the Bible can take us towards recognising Jesus and what he has done. And for some, that may be sufficient. It may take you beyond the sense of familiarity to the recognition. But it can at least reach a sense of familiarity without recognizing. So, seems familiar, seems to make sense, but not quite there. To me, the key bit of this story is not the road to Emmaus, it's not the supper at Emmaus, it's the bit outside Emmaus where the followers say to Jesus, "Stay with us." That's the action they took. If we just go back to the previous slide just a moment. So they had this sense of burning and they followed it up. They could have just let Jesus keep going because he was looking as though he was continuing on his way. But they followed it up and they urged Jesus strongly to stay with them. And that then led on to the stage of recognition. And in this case, it was in what Jesus does. I suspect this is one way of recognizing Jesus. There are all sorts of other ways, but this is one way. And that recognizing Jesus then led to a change in their plans. They were presumably intending to have a nice supper and stay the night. We don't know whether that's where they lived or whether they were traveling further still. But they changed their plans. So, go on to the final slide. In the passage in our Bibles has got the heading, "On the Road to Emmaus." And I think that's only part of the story. The second part of the story is the supper at Emmaus. But to me, the most important part of the story is that the disciples, the followers, took action and they urged Jesus to stay. They had this sense of something here, something significant, and they didn't let it go. They urged Jesus to stay. Amen.